Doug O'Neill, who knows about having success beneath those twin spires. He has trained more than 2,000 winners in his career, and several of his biggest coming right there at Churchill Downs with a couple of Derby wins, now the Stephen Foster. He has had a lot of luck coming to Louisville, Kentucky, and even with all that success, one thing's for sure, he'd be flipping burgers if it wasn't for Jude Feld. Right, Doug?
That is 100% true, Mike. And they wouldn't be the kind of burgers that people would be lined up to get either. They'd be crappy burgers. How are you guys doing? How's your morning going?
So far, so good. How about you?
Fantastic. Just down here, Jude, at beautiful San Leroy Downs.
Oh, nice.
Having a great morning.
Good, good. You can head over to Del Mar and get some breakfast after training. That sounds like fun.
There we go. I like it.
Yeah.
Doug, what is it about you and Churchill Downs? It just seems to go together.
Well, you know what's so funny? I had a meeting with Paul Redham the other day, and so he had taped the NBC coverage. So he said, yeah, you want to watch a little bit? I said, sure, it'd be great. So he puts it on the TV there. We start watching. The first thing they say is, Doug O'Neill, he's two for his last 50 here at Churchill Downs. A little bit. Well, they got to bring that up.
Those were pretty good, too.
Those were two pretty good ones, yeah. So, but not, you know, I think it's all, and Jude, you know all about this, all about the horse. So we just, we're lucky enough to bring a horse like Pavel there the other night. And credit to Paul Redham after he kind of flopped in the Gold Cup. We were trying to figure out why he ran so poorly. It was Paul's idea that it does seem like Pavel runs so good off the plane and on the road, and he mentioned to Stephen Foster, and boom, it all came together perfectly.
Yeah, it was a really warm night, too, and there were other horses in the race that didn't appear to handle those conditions very well, but for Pavel, it was just business as usual for him.
Yeah, and I guess that's just so difficult to try to understand who's going to handle it and who isn't, but... The one thing we had been working on was getting Pavel to kind of calm down and relax, and we went back to taking the cotton out of his ears and not schooling him and just letting him be who he wanted to be, and that's generally a kind of a hot-blooded horse come race day and or race night that night. And so he was excitable in the paddock, and we were feeling good about that, and he ran like he had in the past when he got warm. So it was just a great evening there at Churchill.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to bump into you on the way out of the track after the race, and I'm so glad that you mentioned Paul Redham picking that race out, because that's what you told me that night, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, so you corroborated my story. But but that, I mean, that's the cool thing about training for Mr. Redham is, you know, he takes the game seriously, and he has very interesting thoughts on horses sometimes, and he can, you know, kind of be a help.
Big time, man. And it's not bull crap just telling the IRS guy that it is a business just so he can get some type of help or something. It's the honest to God truth. It's a business for Paul. He absolutely loves it, loves his horses, and he loves the whole strategizing of when they're doing well, you know, what's the best opportunity for the horse. And so now he's so into it. And at the same time, when things aren't going right, which is quite often, he's so supportive and right there understanding that, you know, these horses aren't machines and they can fool you for good and bad. So, it's not many people would put horses on planes the way he does, and oftentimes they're real outsiders, and he gives us all a chance to succeed in the big ones.
Doug, I'm shocked to hear that statistic that you threw out there at the beginning of this interview, because it just doesn't seem, we don't look at Doug O'Neill and say, okay, when he comes to Churchill Downs, he doesn't do well, because you look at the two Kentucky Derbies, you look at now the win in the Stephen Foster, it just seems like, well, at least you're winning the right races. And I made the comment after the race as Pavel was coming back to the winner's circle with Mario, and he was standing there waiting to go in. I said, Mario's not going to know which way to go, because he's used to kind of making that right-hand turn and heading across the infield and out to that Derby winner's circle. He didn't know what to do. I was waiting for him to make that right-hand turn.
No, you're right. It's it's been a blessed place for us, and that stat kind of shocked me too. But it just goes to show that a good win can kind of squash a lot of non-winning efforts. But yeah, it was a great night, and from the band and the music and the youthful energy going on in that in Churchill Downs, it was a fun night, and obviously made even more fun winning the Stephen Foster. But yeah, great times. And Mario does, seeing Mario and the Redham Silks turning for home, grabbing the lead, definitely gave us some flashbacks to 2012 and 2016, which are great flashbacks.
Yeah, what's that like for you when you walk in the paddock at Churchill Downs and you see your horse's name up there with the list of Derby winners? Do you reflect on it at all, or you just go, "That's cool"?
No, it gives me goosebumps. It's something that Jude, when you gave me an opportunity to work for you, and my biggest thing was just I couldn't believe I was actually getting paid to work with these horses that I absolutely loved and loved watching compete. So, just to be there at Churchill and have a horse that you were part of, actually a couple of them, be up there, it's truly incredible. What I feel mostly blessed about, too, is just having the same team that we've had pretty much all along. We just lost our assistant, Jack Sisterson, to Calumet, which, what a great pickup for Calumet, and it's so exciting for us to see him move on and be on his own. But we pretty much, everyone that was with us in 2012 is still with us, and I'm most proud of that. It's a great team.
Do you ever go back and watch those races, Doug, when you're maybe sitting at home or something?
Not really. No, I haven't really done a lot of that, but we have the last, I think it was last year, my wife and I went to Churchill, and we went to the museum there and watched that the amazing Derby film they have there in the museum, and we were both crying, and I mean, it was emotional just to see all the history there, and then to see our ugly mugs part of the history. Like, wait a second. It's like one of those, somebody goofing on you, throwing yourself in there. But it's definitely the world's most popular race, it seems like, and to say you've won it a couple times is more than cool, and just a real honor and blessing, and something that we don't take serious, or that we take seriously, and won't want to represent everything in a classy way. So we're extremely grateful.
Well, there's nothing like it, and it's been great for me to watch, obviously, and just see how far you've come and what you've done with your career. It's outstanding, and the way that you conduct your business and treat your help and your clients, really, really proud of you.
Thank you, Jude. Thank you. And a lot of it watching you. You were a great role model, and the great thing, what I loved about you too, is you made everything fun. I mean, everyone worked hard, and the horses came first, but there was always a lot of levity in the barn, and everyone enjoyed being there. And that's, I think that's half the battle. Is if the employees enjoy being here, that the horses benefit big time from that. So we try to emulate that.
Talking with trainer Doug O'Neill, live from California here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Doug, what's the plan for Pavel from here? How do you get him back to Churchill and ready to peak for that Breeders' Cup Classic?
That's a great question, Mike. Talking to Paul the other day, I think as easy as it would be to just think of racing at Del Mar here in our own backyard, I think because he does so well on the road, Paul's mentioned maybe the Whitney there at Saratoga is maybe his next race. So, and then if that were to happen and that goes well and he comes out of it good, then maybe the Sanita, the Awesome again. And if that went well, then back to Churchill, here we come. That's the dream goal right there.
All right, well, later this afternoon at Santa Anita, you're going to try and record your first victory in the San Carlos, which is a grade two. You're going to send out Stone Hands, 4-1 on the morning line. Same team, J. Paul Redham, Mario Gutierrez. Tell us a little bit about Stone Hands.
you know, he's a big, good-looking son of a gun, always has shown tons of talent in the mornings, and we were always challenged to get it out of him in the afternoons, and he just really seems to have mentally matured, and God, he's just in love with that Sandita surface right now, and through a good post, he's got to step it up a little bit, but he's training like he will. So, yeah, we're pretty pumped up about watching him run today, and I think he's got a big chance in there.
And he's a son of Gainesway Stallion Tapizar. These Tapizars are really running. You think about Monomoy Girl, and now, you know, a horse like Stonehands, who comes into this race on a two-race win streak. You know, that sire has really got it going on right now, Doug.
Yeah, my brother Dennis really likes that sign as well. We got a nice filly, a two-year-old filly that he bought this past one of these past sales here at San Luis Rey that is a really act like a nice filly. So I agree. Tapizar can definitely you can get some runners by him, and with Stonehands, it just took us a while to get it out of him. But man, it's there, and hopefully in a graded way, it's there. So we're excited.
Who's he named after, Stonehands? Or can you say?
Stonehands, yeah.
No wide receivers, I hope.
Yeah, I know. Actually, a golfing friend of Paul's, who I guess Paul just, I have some golf terminology, he's got no toucher on the green or something, but now I can't, you know, I can't think of his name, but it's a friend of Paul's that he plays golf with that he jokes about having Stonehands. So that was the story behind that.
All right, I thought maybe it was a jockey or something, but we.
Oh God, Paul and his name. So he's always got. It's always, you know, we got Toothless Wonder named after the hockey player, and he's always coming up with goofy names after friends. And as long as the horses are talented, we can deal with the goofy names.
Well, you've had plenty of talented ones, Doug, and I know it's a busy day for you. We'll let you go, but good luck this afternoon, and we look forward to catching up with you up the road here, my friend.
You too, you guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great day, guys.